Well, let's turn to our subject this evening, which is another of those great names of our God, the names that we are given in the Word of God so that we can understand the character of our God and our relationship with Him. And they are wonderful names, aren't they? And we're coming towards the end now. We've only got three or four more of these great names to look at. But tonight we're looking at one of the most familiar of all, one of the most comforting of all, one of the most encouraging of all, the Lord my Shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, R-O-H-A, Rohi, the Lord my Shepherd. And it conveys so much about our God and our relationship to Him. What does it mean then, and what does the word itself convey? What is it meant to convey, my shepherd, the shepherd of his sheep? Well, obviously it means that it's one who tends the flock, one who provides, one who guides to pasture and grazing, one who feeds, one who cares for the flock, one who is there to protect and keep and maintain the flock and retrieve the flock when they go astray, to help and to provide in every single way all the needs of the sheep. Sheep are stupid creatures. If you've ever been out walking in the dales and on the fells or wherever there are sheep, you know how stupid they are. They're lovely in many ways, especially when they're lambs, aren't they? But as they grow, they don't seem to get any more sense. Or they don't seem to learn anything. Their one desire in life is to have their head down in a nice patch of green grass and to munch away on that green grass. And they'll follow that green grass wherever it grows as long as they've got their head down. And sometimes they get into terrible trouble and distress because of that tendency not to be aware of what's around them and not to even care what's going on around them. And they need a good shepherd. They need one who would lead them and guide them and watch over them and be vigilant as he does watch over them to make sure that those sheep are safe, and when they do go astray, then they are guided back to him, to the flock. And Jehovah, and this is the amazing thing, isn't it? Jehovah has deigned to be our good shepherd. He has deigned to be and condescended to be the one who will look after and care for and tend for his flock. To watch over them in that most intimate and personal way that a shepherd especially in the hill country around Jerusalem, would watch over his flock, living with them, caring for them, providing for them day and night. That is our shepherd. And as the hymn writer says, oh, what matchless condescension. It is, isn't it? It is incredible condescension from our God. I suppose the only way that we can truly appreciate this is to think of a king, a mighty king in all his glory and majesty, deciding that he will go and look after a flock of sheep and live out with the sheep and watch over those sheep and care for those sheep. What condescension we would think that would be, maybe. We would think other things too, because he's got other duties to do. But we're looking at the mighty God of heaven and earth. We're looking at the one who never neglects any of his duties, who sustains the universe with his mighty power, who is watching over every movement of the universe and every detail of the universe. There is not a moth that flies or a butterfly that stretches its wings that God doesn't know about. There is not a breath of air that goes through the grasses of the earth that God isn't aware of. There isn't a hair on our heads that falls to the ground that God doesn't see, know, number, and hear, and is aware of what has happened. That is what the detail that God has to be aware of and to know and to sustain and to keep and to order according to his sovereign will and his sovereign purposes every moment of every day throughout the whole of time. And yet he is the one who deigns to be our shepherd, to condescend to watch over us and to keep us and to care for us. And we're not even good sheep, are we? We are those ragged and poor and bedraggled sheep. We are those people who are not worthy of his care. Even the shepherd looking after the sheep, the shepherd is a poor person himself. He's paid, or they are his sheep. So he has an interest in them. He has some vested interest in keeping those sheep and watching over those sheep. But God has no vested interest in watching over us. He doesn't need us. We don't add anything to his glory. We don't contribute to his magnificence in any way. He doesn't need our praise. He is most glorious, and he is most wonderful, and he is most exalted in himself. He doesn't need anybody to give praise to him, does he? Why does he need us? He is the creator of all things, making all things from nothing. He doesn't need us. And worse than that, we're fallen creatures, sinful creatures, whom he has had to save and redeem at incredible cost to himself, so that we will be his sheep, the sheep of his pastures. He has had to give all for us, and we contribute nothing to him and to his glory. And even as his children, we are constantly going astray, constantly failing him, constantly bringing dishonor upon his name. And he is constantly having to correct us and to retrieve us from our errors and from our sins, isn't he? That's who we are. We are unworthy of such a shepherd. And yet, he condescends to love us and to be our shepherd, to watch over us and to keep us all our days. What a wonderful God we have, and what matchless love he must have for us. What incredible love he must have for us. Well, we're going to look at two portions of Scripture this evening. There are three main portions of Scripture regarding the shepherd. There are others that speak about the shepherd, a verse or two verses or three verses, but there are three main portions of Scripture. The 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Ezekiel 34, which talks about him being the true shepherd of Israel and the true shepherd of his people, who is to restore his people and bring his people back to him after they have fallen away from him. And John 10, which speaks about the shepherd gathering his sheep and being the one true shepherd of his sheep. Well, we're not going to look at Ezekiel this evening. We don't have time to look at them all. And you can look at that passage for yourself and look at the great teaching there for yourself. But much of what is said there about his relationship to his sheep is covered by Psalm 23 and John 10. So we're going to concentrate on those two wonderful portions of Scripture. And we're going to start with John 10. And this is talking of First of all, the Lord gathering his people and their relationship to him. He is the shepherd of the sheep. They hear his voice, they know him, and they follow him. And there's 9 main things. We're going to try and get through them very quickly, friends. 9 main things that we are told here about him gathering his people and bringing his people to himself, them being his true sheep and he being the true shepherd of the sheep. The first one in verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens. This is talking about the shepherd of the sheep. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So the first thing is that he is the legitimate shepherd of his sheep. He is the chosen shepherd of his sheep. Others may come and go. Others may call themselves shepherds, like the Pope. He calls himself the shepherd of the sheep of God. He is no shepherd. No shepherd at all. There is one shepherd. There is one legitimate shepherd. There is one chosen shepherd of the sheep of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone has been allowed and chosen and sent to gather his sheep. He is alone the one that who will speak, and they will hear his voice, and they will follow him. He is the shepherd of the sheep, and there is no other. So that's the first thing. We have one shepherd and only one shepherd. The second is verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And this is so important. The shepherd calls his sheep, they follow him. They don't follow another shepherd, they only follow him. Isn't that incredible how the sheep, being dumb creatures as they are, They can pick out the voice of their shepherd and follow the voice of their shepherd if they're trained to. And here, this wonderful picture of the shepherd and the sheep is used of for us, for his children. They hear his voice, and when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. When we're chosen before the beginning of time, God sets his love upon us. He also sets within us this knowledge of our shepherd. That when the Holy Spirit works within us, he brings it out so that we hear his voice and we respond to his voice and we turn to the shepherd of the sheep. There is a knowledge that God implants and God brings out of his people, of the shepherd. Wonderful truth that we are the chosen of the Lord, that we are those who the Lord will have for his own. They hear his voice, for they know his voice, and they follow him. So the third one, verse 9, we go on to verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. When a shepherd looks after the sheep in these countries, they used to lay across the doorway of the sheepfold. It was used to be probably made of stones, a sort of corral where they would put the sheep at night time, or made of sticks and fencing. And if they wanted to keep the sheep together, if there was dangers around, they would put them in there. And they would lay across the door of the fold so that nobody could come in and no sheep could go out without their knowledge. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. That he, in fact, is the door. The door of the sheepfold. He is the one that lays down between them and all the danger that is before them, all the law of God that would condemn them, Satan who would devour them, the dangers that are before them in their Christian life, in their Christian walk. He is the door. That is the relationship that he has with his sheep. He is the door. He keeps them. He watches over them. And he will have them for his own. He is the great keeper of his sheep. Number 4, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's the extent, that's the length that the Lord Jesus Christ goes for his sheep. And in those days, you had two types of shepherds. You had the hireling. You had the person who was given a job. It was one of the lowest jobs you could have, one of the meanest jobs, one of the poorest paid jobs you could have in the Lord Jesus Christ's day. So if your only interest in the sheep was to be paid, a paid job, when danger came, you would often find that the hireling would flee, as the Lord Jesus Christ describes in verses 12 and 13. But the Lord Jesus Christ will go this far. He will give his life for the sheep. He will stand and he will do what is required for those sheep, for the safety and security of their sheep. Now, obviously, the first picture is the Lord Jesus Christ going to that cross of Calvary and giving his life on the cross of Calvary, isn't it? That wonderful sacrifice that he has made for us to redeem us and make us into the children of the living God. He is the shepherd of his sheep who gives his life for the sheep. He has laid down his life for the sheep so that we can have life. He has gone to the ultimate for us, hasn't he? He has paid the ultimate price for us. And he has done all for us so that we can have salvation and redemption. But there is more to this. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. There is nothing that he will not do for his sheep. Nothing. Nothing that he will not pay for his sheep. Nothing that he will not lay down for his sheep. He has given his all, and he will give his all for his sheep. They are his, and he will have them, and he will keep them, and he will bless them, and they will be his forever. Number 4. Number 5, verse 13. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. The hireling flees because he does not care. Why does Jesus stand his ground? Why does Jesus not flee? It's not because it's his job. It's not because before the beginning of time he entered into a contract with the Father in heaven called that great covenant of grace. It's not that at all. Because he cares. And because he loves each and every one of his sheep. His heart goes out to us. As his heart went out to us on the cross of Calvary, and it was his heart that kept him there. His love for us that kept him there on that cross. Above all else, his love for each and every one of us. He cares. Nobody else cares, but he cares. And he will have his sheep, and he will tend to their every need. Number 6, he knows them, and he is known by them, and they know him. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. What a truth this is, that the Lord Jesus Christ knows each and every one of his sheep personally. It's not a question of anybody creeping into heaven. Not a question of anybody getting by him. You can get by me, friends. That's not too difficult. You can learn the language of Zion. You can learn how Christians live, and you may do these things because you genuinely want to want to contribute to God and do something for God, or because that's what you feel is right and good in the world, to believe in God and to do the things that God wants. But it's totally different between knowing about God and being determined to follow God and knowing your God and Him knowing you. There's a great difference, isn't there? After all, a lot of people know about the Queen. They know about where she lives. They know about what her palace looks like. They know even know what her bedroom looks like. But they don't know her. And she doesn't know them. Not personally. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about God knowing each and every one of His children. The Lord Jesus Christ knows them all by name. He knows them because He has died for them. He has shed His blood for them. He has taken their sins, each and every one of them, upon Himself. And He has suffered and died, bearing all the punishment for those sins and paying the price personally for those sins. And He has called them to Himself. And they have come to Him. And they have put their trust, their personal trust in Him. And He has received that trust. And He has honored that trust by forgiving them and blessing them and bringing them into His fold. Personal is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we're talking about. Not a knowledge of Him, but knowing Him personally in our lives. He knows them and they know Him. That is the relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ has with each and every one of His children. Let me ask you this evening here, friends, if you come here this evening, and if you're here this evening believing that you are a Christian, but your knowledge of God stops with knowing about Him, let me urge you, friends, not to stop there, but to press on until you know Him. You know that He's your Saviour. You know Him personally in your life. You know Him personally, and He knows you because you are His sheep and you are loved by Him, and He has died for you, and He has saved you and redeemed you. Don't stop until you know Him personally in your life. Well, number 7, verse 15, we must go through these a bit more quickly now. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is more than what the Lord has said here in verse 11. He personally commits Himself and gives Himself willingly for the sheep. It's not an order, it's not a command, it's not a requirement. It's something that He does willingly, of His own volition, for those sheep. Let me say this. If it were possible, if there were no covenant of grace, if God hadn't entered into a covenant of grace, if that were possible, not possible, but if it were, the Lord Jesus Christ would still have died for His people and for His sheep. He would willingly, individually, give Himself for His sheep. Not possible, because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, completely one in everything, in every decision that is made, in every work that they do. But if it were possible, then Jesus Christ would willingly, voluntarily, of His own volition, give Himself for His sheep. That's what it means. He is under no pressure. He does it out of love. Because He loves them, He lays down His life for them. Number 8, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So the Lord has one flock, and there is one shepherd. The only one. Mark that, friends. Only one. There is only one way of salvation, that is by personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and having your sins forgiven in him, him doing the work, him meriting your salvation for you, and you trusting in him. One way, only one way, not through works, lest any man should boast. There is one Savior of mankind, the Savior of the world, only one, Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself. There aren't many saviors. There's only one, Jesus Christ. And there is only one flock, one true flock. Those who know the Lord personally and trust in him personally and follow him and him alone. They will not follow another. If they're following the Pope, they are not following the Lord Jesus Christ. If they're following some celebrity Christian, they are not following the Lord Jesus Christ. One, only one flock, and only one shepherd. And lastly, number 9, verse 28. But you do not believe because you are not of the sheep, as I said. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's the great truth of it, isn't it? All that we have from our great shepherd is a gift. All of it. It's not earned. It's not merited by us. We do not have to do anything for it. There is nothing that we can give for it. Everything that we have from his hand is a gift. Is a wonderful gift. And I give them. What does he give them? Eternal life. That's the first thing. He gives them eternal life. It is a gift of God. And if we do not receive it as a gift, if we try to work for it, if we try to earn it in any way, we will fail. It must be a gift, a free gift of the grace of our wonderful God. And it is eternal life. That's the measure of the gift of our shepherd, isn't it? He gives eternal life, and we shall live forever. We shall never perish. There's no way we can perish. Once you are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved forever. Nobody can snatch them out of his hand. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, we're not only kept by the shepherd of the sheep, we're kept by the great shepherd of heaven. We're kept by both. The mighty God of heaven and earth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are kept by them all in their mighty hands. And how can we be moved? How can that be taken away from us? How can that be changed? It can't, friends. It's absolutely impossible. Do you know why it's impossible? It's impossible because it doesn't count on us at all. Not upon our works, not upon our efforts to save ourselves and to redeem ourselves, completely upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's where it is. It's impossible because Jesus Christ has died and he has paid the price. The Father cannot require another price for our sins and the things that we have done. He is just. It is finished. It has been paid. You can't snatch us out of the Lord Jesus Christ's hands because he has determined to have us before the beginning of time, and he has set his love upon us. We are the chosen. We are the elect. So nothing can change that. And God has determined that we will be with him forever and forever. And if God has determined that, who can change that determination? Is there anyone greater than God and mightier than our great shepherd and his father? None at all. So if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are trusting in his work and his merits alone, if we are his sheep and know him personally and he knows us, then we will be with him forever, now and forever. He will always be our shepherd. He will always keep us. He will always watch over us. He will always love us. He will never let us go. And when we go astray, what will he do? He will stretch out that mighty hand of his and draw us back to himself. He will chasten us and he will correct us. Because he loves us and because he cares for us. That's the truth of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reality of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his and he is ours forever and forever. And nothing, not man, not Satan, that all the powers of the universe can take that from us. Nothing. We will always have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, shepherd and his personal sheep, whom he loves, whom he has given himself for, and whom he will love now and for always. So we follow him, don't we? We hear his voice. Above all the clamour of the world, we hear his voice and we follow him. Let's never follow another, friends. Let's never listen to other voices. Let's never listen to other ways. Let's never go astray, friends, from our great shepherd. Let's never leave his side. That's where safety is. That's where security is. Not bowing out the knee to the voice of the world. No matter how powerful it is or it seems to be. Never be more powerful than our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how seductive it seems. Never will it love us more than the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how much it offers us. Never can it give more than the Lord Jesus Christ has given. Never, never. Let's stick to our Saviour. Stick fast to him and follow him in these days of wickedness and decline, where even the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is following other voices. Let's follow him and be true to him forever and forever. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we come into your presence. We do praise and thank you that you are the great shepherd of your sheep, that you have chosen us, that you have bought us at an incredible price, and that you will have us for your own forever. We do pray, Lord, that we, as the sheep of your fold, may be true to you, may walk after you, may keep close to you. Forgive us for our folly, O Lord, when we do go astray. O Lord, forgive us, O Lord, that when we are like, O Lord, those foolish sheep who do not know what's good for them. Lord, please help us. Please be with us. Keep us in your way. Keep us true to you. And we do pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that have been led astray in these wicked and evil days. We ask, O Lord, for them that you would look kindly upon them. And if they are truly your sheep, may, O Lord, you correct them. May you stretch out that wonderful hand of love and mercy towards them and turn them around and bring them back to your heart and to your side, Lord, we pray. that they may follow you, and we may be one flock and one people for you in these days and for all eternity. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Well, I'm sorry I didn't get on to Psalm 23, but we'll look at that next week, shall we? Now let's turn to